but being an example to the flock. You are an elder, you are a brother, you are an elder sister, you are a leader in the house of God. And when the chief shepherd appears, then you'll receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So it's an encouragement for you to be an example to those that are following behind you, which is how the kingdom of God works. Elders are under shepherds. Elders are shepherds of the flock of God under the chief shepherd, who is the Lord himself. Now, as we deal with this, you have to understand that an elder is not just somebody that's old. Because if you are of, if you're not doing anything in the kingdom of God, you just get old along the way, you're not an elder in the house of God. You're an old, lazy person in the house of God. If you're not blessing anybody else, you're an old person that doesn't bless anybody. If you're crabby and moody, well, you're an old, crabby, moody person. That's all that's happened, is you've gotten old along the way. But you're not fulfilling what we would deem as an elder in the house of God. Here's what John does. When John's writing in 1 John, he writes to children, young men, and old men. Or he's writing to children, young men, and elders. And ladies, don't worry about it. It's generic in its terminology. But he's talking to the whole church. But he's not talking about elders as chronologically of a certain age. Because here's the ticket. You can pray through at 50 and you're a child in the house of God. And you can be raised up in this and apply your heart to wisdom and really learn the lessons, or come in with a great deal of zeal and you can be an elder in the house of God in your mid-20s. You can be carrying a lot of weight and blessing a lot of people and causing a change in the lives of people around you and becoming a strength in the house of God at 25, at 26. Now, that doesn't diminish the power of God in you if you pray through at 60 and you get it going at 65, 70. You may turn into an elder too, you know, but it's not to do with your chronological age. It has to do with your tenure in the kingdom of God and how effective you are at applying the lessons that the Word of God offers us. So this is a discussion about sheep and shepherds. And the church is likened to sheep. So everybody just say, bah. Yeah, God calls us sheep, and he's the great shepherd. We are his flock. And it's interesting because we are herd-like. We are gregarious by nature. We are herd-like. Nobody really likes to be by themselves. People say they do. They get a martyr attitude. They act like they want to be by themselves. But everybody needs somebody. And by and large, we are herd-like, and we need the body of Christ. And so this is God's flock. The church is God's flock. Here's Jesus on sheep and shepherds, John chapter 10, and starting in verse 7. Are we up here? No, we're not. We're not rolling tonight. So, Brother Cliff, you got your Bible? John chapter 10 and verse 7. Stand and read with a big, loud voice. Got your Bible? Got your glasses? Yeah, that's it. Okay, he said, I'm the door to the sheepfold. Now, I sent that, Sharon. If it's up there, if you can get it on, we'd love it. Yeah. Okay, read on. Okay, Jesus is the door. And this is a sheep shepherd sheepfold motif, but there are many of these throughout the scripture. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He is the door. He is the tabernacle. He is the temple. He is the high priest. He's the way that we get to God. There is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. And so there are a lot of ways that he uses to describe this relationship that we have as we make our way through the Christ and what he's done to get to our estate in God. And so here he's the door, and he's the shepherd, and he's the door to the sheepfold. And he says, if you come in by me, you'll go in and out and find pasture. So when you get yourself hooked up to Jesus Christ and you're doing this at a very good and a high level, we talk often, we're going to read some more, Brother Cliff, but you can stand or sit, doesn't matter. We talk often about portals that we use to go into the Spirit. The basic portals for entering into the things of the Spirit are prayer, worship, and the Word of God. In prayer, worship, and the Word of God, you can leave where you are and go into where God is and where the things of God are. You can actually absorb those things, get them into your life, and you can actually pick things up and take them out into your world. He said, you'll go in and out. You're going back and forth in the Christ, in his gospel, in his promise, in the depth of the Spirit, and back into the natural world, bringing the things of God, just like the spies at the crossing of the Jordan took stones out of the depth of that riverbed, and they built a memorial in the first encampment, and then they built a memorial of stones in the river bottom itself. They were doing work in the Spirit. They weren't just doing work with rocks and water and in a riverbed. They were building memorials, spiritual memorials. And so you can come in and out and find pasture in him. He's our shepherd. He's our sheepfold, and he is the door to the sheepfold. Read on, Brother Cliff. Yeah, God is an abundance mentality God. He's not a stingy God. He's not a little God. Starting in the garden, he said, you can eat of every tree of the garden. There is one that you can't touch. But that's how it is with God. There's always a restriction. But in essence, God is very much an abundance mentality God. He doesn't want to restrict you. He wants to have you engage in life, and that more abundantly. It's the devil that comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. It's the devil that ultimately comes and restricts you. Now, the devil will tell you, I'm a door, and if you come through me, you can have all of these things. And they show you all the billboards and all the Hollywood shots and all of the things that the world says is good for you. But you get out there and get tangled up in that stuff, and it will restrict your spiritual life. It will crush the very life out of you. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. But God has come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. We pass in and out of him, and we find pasture and abundant life. Read on. Yeah, he doesn't have anything to prove. Hereby perceive we the love of God. He laid down his life for us. This is how we know God loves us. He died on a cross for us. And so God doesn't have to prove anything to any one of us. He is the good shepherd. And he proves that he's the good shepherd because he came down out of heaven, put on a body of flesh, and died for us. Read on. This is a discussion, and it could be that you're talking about the fivefold ministry. But I want you to enlarge this in your thinking tonight, because this is a discussion concerning anybody that is not fully invested in the good of the people of God. That would be a hireling. A hireling would be someone that is there for what they get, not for the good that they can do. If And this is where you find people that get turned sideways, or they get attitudes because something good doesn't come to them, or they don't get their way, or nobody recognizes them, or they're not getting anything from what they're doing in the kingdom of God. The joy in the kingdom of God is what you do for others. It's not what people do for you. If you don't learn that, that's living for God 101, and that's how you drink from the fountain, and that's how you grow, and that's how you walk in the blessing of God. And so doing for others. And if you're a hireling, you can tell if you're a hireling, because when things get tough and there's a little bit of turbulence or a little emotional trouble, the first thing you want to do is flee. That all the devil's got to do is walk in the midst and shake the bush a little bit, and you're going to leave because you can't take the heat and you can't take the tension, or there's something that offends you or troubles you. But a child of God doesn't do that. Not a real child of God. He steps right up in the middle of the trouble and says, this is my church. This is my church family. These are the children of my church. These are the young people of my church. And I am here to show them that we don't run when things get tough, and we don't run when somebody says something bad about us, and we don't run when there's a little bit of conflict. We find solutions and we find answers, and we find God in the middle of the trouble. We find the answer, and the answer always comes from God. Somebody say praise the Lord. But a hireling will run away, because a hireling's only interested in what good they can accrue to themselves. Okay, so turn to your neighbor and say, don't be a hireling. Yeah, you want to take care of God's sheep. You want to take care of God's sheep. But nobody ever mentions me, and nobody ever claps for me, and nobody ever talks good about me, and nobody, you're not serving all those folks. You're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Get your head up out of the hole you're living in and look up and understand that God is involved in this, and you're serving God. When the good shepherd returns, the great shepherd returns, you're going to get a crown of life. There's nothing else that matters. Okay. And verse 14, Brother Cliff. He said, and there's others out there that are coming. And I'm so glad to hear that. He said almost something identical to the Jews in Isaiah. He said, I have others that I'm bringing in, talking about bringing us, the Gentiles, in. And to the church now, he's saying, I've got others that I'm bringing in. I'm bringing in others that you might not be able to relate to. I'm bringing in others that might look weird to you. I'm bringing in others that aren't living like you live. They don't think like you think. And they don't grow as fast as you'd like them to grow. But I'm bringing them in. And it's your job to be a shepherd among them. It's your job to be an example to them. Show them. They can watch you and learn how to live for God. They can watch you and learn what faithfulness to the house of God is. They can watch you and learn what worship is. They can watch you and learn what a proper response to the preaching of the word of God is. They can watch you and learn what prayer is like. You understand me? They watch you. You're an example. You are a shepherd. You are leading them in those areas. And it's amazing. The connectedness that you have in a church family or a church body, it is amazing how people connect with different folks, and they might not follow the preacher and they might not follow an elder, but they will follow someone who has a hold of the things of God that is not in some official position, but they will follow after them and learn how to pray and learn how to worship and learn how to be faithful to the house of God. And everybody in this house has the capacity to be a shepherd. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay. It is interesting to me that we're done with that passage, Brother Cliff. It's interesting that God's favorite king, his favorite king, who was a giant killer and the psalmist of Israel, he was a shepherd boy. It's interesting to me that when God sent his choir to announce the birth of Christ, that he didn't go to the Sanhedrin and he didn't go to Pilate's hall. He didn't go to the king's palace, Herod's palace. He went to some shepherds on a hillside outside of Bethlehem. God's got a thing for shepherds, but there's something about the dynamic working shepherd and sheep that has something very important to tell us in the way that we interact in the house of God. And that's what Peter's teaching on in this passage for us tonight. When Jesus three times comes after Peter and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" Now, I know he's knocking him because of that business of cursing and denying Jesus three times. I know Jesus is gigging him a little bit because they're friends and he's gigging him. "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Because he knew that he had denied him three times. But every time Peter says, "Lord, you know I love you. Lord, you know I love you." And you understand the whole business there. Jesus' question was, "Do you agape me? Do you love me like godly love?" And Peter's answer was always philios. "Yes, I philios you. I love you like a brother loves." And so there's a lot of themes running through here. But he asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And each time Jesus said, "If you love me, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And he's hung up on this theme, this motif of the shepherd and the sheep runs through the conversation of the Word of God quite often. And in the parables, you find it. You find the good shepherd going out and finding the lost sheep. And so when we go out and evangelize, or we go out and find someone and bring them to the house of God, we're like a shepherd finding a lost sheep. Everybody in this world belongs to God because God bought the whole field. When he died on the cross, he shed blood for everybody. He paid for everyone's sin. And so everybody on this earth belongs to him. It's not just a little club. I know we're in covenant with God, and I know that we are God's people. But there's a sinner on the street down from your house that belongs to God because God shed enough blood for him, or God shed enough blood for her, and God has already laid claim. Now, that person has to come by their free moral agency or their will, but God already paid the price for them. They, in essence, then belong to God. He bought the whole field so he could have the treasure. He owns the whole world. We have a job to be shepherds. Go out and find the lost sheep of God. So Psalms 23, and we're going to take a little look at the shepherd's psalm, or Psalms 23. Brother Warren, you got your Bible? You want to read there? Oh, we got it. We can just read off the screen now. We don't have to bring our Bibles to church anymore. Yeah, and that's what happens to you. You get lazy, and then one day the screen dies, and you're stuck. I'm ready. All right, the Lord is my shepherd. It's a redundant theme throughout the Word of God, and this is a shepherd David talking about the Lord is my shepherd, and he's got a lot of inside information there. The Lord's my shepherd, what's his conclusion? I shall not want. We are called to emulate the great shepherd. We're called to model after him. And so as we approach this business of church building, team building, ministry building, evangelism, working with children, working with young people, working in our areas of ministry, then we emulate the chief shepherd, and our goal is so that that individual doesn't go lacking or wanting in the kingdom of God. Now, it's so easy to just read this on the level of, this is what God does for me, this is precious, this is wonderful. Well, that's very true, but get your vision up a little bit higher. This is not just about you and Jesus. This is about you and somebody else that Jesus is trying to bring into the kingdom. And so you have a calling here to create a scenario in a local church where people can come and not live like spiritual beggars, but actually come and live at a very high level of spiritual authority in the things of God and appropriate the things of the Word of God into their own life. I read Paul. He said, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." People that live for God ought to have joy in their life. The joy of the Lord is your strength. People that live for God ought to have peace in their life. I read where it's peace that passes all understanding. You don't need to live in the crucible of anxiety and angst and fear all the days of your life. That is not the will of God for you. And somebody in this house needs to lead some new person into that knowledge and that awareness. They need to look at you and see a depth of experience in you where God has peace in you that flows like a river and joy that exudes in your life. Do you hear me tonight? People, young people, children, new converts ought to be able to look at you and follow you right to the gates of heaven. They ought to be able to follow you and walk out of their neurosis and all of their fears and all of their troubles. You've got a calling to be a shepherd, to be an under-shepherd, to be an emulator of the great shepherd. And people need to be able to see something in you and follow you, and they're not living in want. They're not living in need. They're living at a high level of achievement in the Spirit, and God is filling their needs. They're growing into maturity in the kingdom of God. How many of you feel like that personally? Are you living at this level where you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? I'm not clinging from sermon to sermon. I'm not just making it day by day. I'm living for God at a high level, and I love what God is. Are you living like that? If you're not, you need to be. You need to get close to somebody that's living this at a high level. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Read on. And he takes care of everything a sheep needs. That's all a sheep needs is some water and a green pasture, and he's a happy sheep. All you got to do. People ought to be able to follow you and find still waters, not turbulent waters full of trouble and conflict. Yeah, I know you. You're not going to ever drag a new person off into conflict and fuss and cuss and fight and strife, and you're not going to do that. You're not. You're going to lead them and say, look, living for God is a blast. Come with me. Living for God is great peace. Come with me. I know what you're going to do. You're going to lead them beside still waters where they can grow and they can prosper. And you feel a personal ownership about the flock of God and what God is doing in their lives. You need to, when new people walk in the house, you need to wrap them up in every good thing that God has done for you. And you need to pray through until that is alive down in your heart. If this is ever all about you, you're on the verge of losing every good thing God ever did for you. It's got to be about others. The whole kingdom of God is about others. He leads me beside the still waters. And he does what? Everybody say, restores my soul. Do you ever hang around anybody that when you leave, you feel totally depleted?
Yes, sir.
Don't look to the left or the right. Do you ever hang around with anybody when you leave, you feel rejuvenated and charged? Yeah, well, pick a door, door A, door B, but you really want to hang around with the folks that recharge you. But you want to be that person. You don't want to be that person. Let me tell you, all my troubles. Let me tell you everything bad that's ever happened to me. How much time do you have? We'll go back to the very beginning. In the beginning, my mama dressed me funny and it was terrible. And folks just live like that. Isn't that amazing? But God's called you to a higher place. God's called you to a life of abundance and plenty and soundness of mind and fullness of spirit. So much so that when you connect with people, when you leave their presence, they ought to say, I feel better just talking to that guy. I just feel better talking to that gal. It's just, you need to be one. You need to be a restorer of people's strength, their soul. You need to have so much anointing on you that you have an aura about you that just gets on people when you leave their presence. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm reading from the Bible tonight. You may think I'm misapplying it, but I'm not. I am not. And you know good and well, folks can suck every bit of the strength out of you. Wah, 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 wah. But you don't want to be that person. You want to be a person that just has energy and strength and goodness and godliness. And when people leave your presence, they should say, wow, I just feel better talking to that person. We got a little pharmacy ministry going on with the folks at Walmart. My wife has some physical problems, so we spend more time at the pharmacy than we ought. But it's just one of those things. It's bad when you got a really close relationship with a doctor or a pharmacist. Not that they're bad people, it's just you'd rather not, you know? So it's like when my kids were teenagers, I had a real close relationship with the body shop at Sarah. And, you know, you never want to be on first name basis with the body shop. Hey, how you doing? He's back again. Yeah, that's right. One Sunday morning, Lindsay turned her car on its side in one of those big ditches on Bud Holmes Road out there in Pinson. And then when we got her squared away and at church, my wife pulled into Zapata's for a little after-church burrito, and she bonked into a car in the parking lot there. And then she looked at it and thought it looked real familiar, and it was familiar. It was Ashley's car. So the next week, I had three cars in the body shop. Ain't it grand? You don't want to have a close relationship with body shops or with anyway. But we've got this good relationship going on, and these people enjoy seeing us. They just talk about the nicest things. They talk about us, and they talk about it in such glowing terms. And see, we know what it is. I know that in me there is no good thing. I've got a streak of cynic in me a mile wide. I'm a scoundrel at heart. You didn't know me before I had the Holy Ghost. I'm just being a little transparent here. But I'm looking at this little lady and she's just all excited. And I'm saying, honey, it's just Holy Ghost. It's just the Word of God and the goodness of God and the mercies of God. But I'm going to let you go ahead and think that it's me, because I can't explain all this to you right now. We don't have enough time. But I want every interaction that I have to be like that. I want people to go away saying, man, I just feel better talking to these folks. You need to be like, you got to be one of those people. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to be like that. I want to restore people's souls. Read on. He leads me. So when you're leading children or young people here or new converts here or your friends here, because we get connected and we spend time together, you always want to lead folks in the paths of righteousness. You never want them to be following you, moving into a place of conflict or spiritual danger or any kind of spiritual drama or social, cultural drama. You want people, when they're following you, to be safe in the house of God and in the hand. That's what a good shepherd does. Keeps them safe, keeps them sheltered. He said, I'm the door. You can go in and out of me and have good pasture. That's what God wants you to be to his people that interact with you. Praise God. So people need to be able to follow you and get to righteousness. They need to be able to follow you and say, this sister, this brother, they know where they're going, and I'm going to follow them, and I'm going to get to God. Any new convert needs to be able to follow you and not get jammed up. Any teenager needs to be able to follow you and find themselves in a stronger place in the kingdom of God, because you've got a calling. You're an elder. You've got a calling to be a guide, to be a shepherd in the house of God. Read on. When your friends, when your young people of this church family or people that you're associated with here, when they follow you and they encounter you, if they're going through a difficult time, you have to be a source of comfort to them. You have to be a source of the Word of God to them. They should be strengthened by their interaction with you. That's what God does. We're in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death, and his rod and his staff, they comfort us, and we are not full of fear because we've got somebody with us that has every answer for every dilemma. You need to have that kind of persona in the house of God. You need to be able to put your arm around that brother, that sister, and say, it's going to be all right because God has this all in control. Somebody say, praise God. I was I don't know who was talking to you, Brother Tracy. We were talking about how good God was. We're going down the stairwell over here. I don't know if I was talking to you or not, but we were just talking about how good God was, what good things God was doing. And it just occurred to me that the best stuff is on the other side, that this is not even the payoff. This is not even the place where the good stuff, the millennial is going to be a blast, and then the forever is going to be greater than that. I'm just telling, this is pretty good. This is pretty good stuff that God's doing, and it just keeps getting better. People need to be able to come into your presence and be strengthened and be comforted. If they're having a hard time, don't you know how it is? You tell somebody, you walk in church and you got your leg in a cast, or you've got your arm in a sling, and 9 of the 10 people that meet you, "Well, my arm got broke one time. Let me tell you about when my leg got hung in the hay baler." You know, and they all want to tell you about their problems. When you encounter somebody with a problem, don't tell them about your problems. Tell them about the grace and the goodness and the mercy and the strength and the blessing of God. And be comfort and be strength to them. Put it on a card. Put it on the mirror where you do whatever you do in the morning, or on your dashboard. But don't cover up your speedometer so you get tickets. But put it somewhere high profile where you see it. I will be a strength to someone today. I will be a blessing today. There's a teller at our bank. She's got stuff like that all over her little teller booth. I was amazed that they let her do that. But she's just preaching to you when you walk up to her window. She's talking about being happy and being joyful and being kind and all of that. And I like her just because of all her stuff she's got up there, trying to get her to come to church and get the Holy Ghost. I kind of think she's got it already, but you need to be like that. You need to be a very positive and powerful influence in the lives of everybody that you come in contact with. You need to comfort them and strengthen them. Everybody say, praise the Lord. And prepare a table for them in the presence of their enemies. Don't pile on. Don't give them more. Don't talk about your disasters. But prepare a table for them. Bring the word of God. Give them some good bread to eat. Strengthen them and bless them. That's what God does for us in hard times. He just says, "I know you got enemies here. Let me spread something out here for you. You can have a feast while your enemy loses his mind." You need to be that influence in the life of people in the house of God. Surely goodness and mercy. Read on. Yeah, shepherd and sheep. Isaiah talks about God as the good shepherd. And this is how he describes the Messiah when he comes. This is after that passage about John the Baptist, and he's a voice crying in the wilderness. But it talks about the one that John is talking about, and he is our God, and he is our shepherd. But he says this about him in Isaiah 40, around verse 11. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, gather his lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, gently lead those that are with young." And then it goes on to tell you, he's the one that made the worlds, and he's the one that shaped the universe, "who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, meted out heaven with a span, comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in balance." You know what the writer's doing here, what God's telling you here. God is very busy. He's very powerful. He's got very important things that he's holding together, and he has time to take up the lambs in his arm and draw them close to his bosom and shelter them and help them. You should have people that are like a project in your life. You should look around and zero in and say, "All right, God," unless God just opens it up for you, you need to choose somebody and say, "I'm going to help this little person be strong in the house of God." And then time after time, service after service, just go to them, put your arm around them, tell them something good, encourage them, target them, be strategic about it. pick somebody, appoint somebody, and be a strength and a blessing to them every time you... I see some people do this. I see them do it kind of organically and just spontaneously. But it is such a wonderful ministry. It doesn't cost you anything. And the proposition here is God's holding the universe together. Look at all he's done and how busy he is. But he's got time to reach down and pick up a little lamb and bring it close to his bosom and shelter it and love it and strengthen it. And he's telling us, that's how I want you to be. I want you to be like an under shepherd in my house. I want you to take care of these little ones. It doesn't take you anything at all to kneel down in the aisle and help a kid tie a shoe. It doesn't take you anything at all to take your good handkerchief or whatever and blow the nose of some snotty 8-year-old. It doesn't cost you a thing, just an act of kindness. Be kind to these kids and young people and bus kids and new folks that are coming in to the house of God. Have a mentality like a shepherd to lead them and strengthen them and bless them and be compassionate to them. Praise God. I'm really excited about this vocational training ministry that we've been talking about. There's a kid that's been coming on the bus for a good long while, and he was so excited. I remember back in the other building, back last spring, back in the spring when they were graduating from high school, and he had all these great plans and everything, and the church celebrated him in his graduation and all, but he was going to go to welding school, and he was going to learn how to be a welder, and he was going to go to Alaska, and he had it charted out, but I could tell he kept showing up. He wasn't in Alaska. He wasn't gone. It never worked out. Something didn't open up. Somebody didn't do the paperwork. He didn't know how to make the things come together. He lives in a circle where nobody's really helping him accomplish those things. And so he's not getting it together. But here we've got a wonderful opportunity. We're gonna put a 110 welding machine back there. We're going to run a 220 and hook up another welding machine back there. And Zach has already started planning. He's got a couple of people that he's already starting to line up to train them. Do you know what that'll do for that kid? It will revolutionize his life to have a skill set, to be able to walk onto a job and say, I can do this job, and have the confidence of a man on a job. And that's just a little gift that Zach can give him with a little bit of time and a little bit of a bump in our electricity bill or whatever. Or we might have to buy a welding machine. But if we can transform a life, that's the practical end of taking up a lamb, bringing him close to your bosom. I mean, it's not going to do him a whole lot of good if you just hug him. I mean, the hugs are great. You're going to love them and all of that. But really get involved in their lives. Take them up and strengthen them and bless them. Do something good for them. It will enrich your life. It will bless your life. Everybody say praise the Lord. Are you doing okay? God's good. Let's give God a little praise and magnify him. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Acts 20 and 28 is one of my very favorite scriptures. Of course, the favorite scripture is probably the one you're reading right now, you know. So, Sister Dina, you got your Bible? Or you can read, though. And it's right there behind my bald head, isn't it? It is. So, yeah. Dina, yeah. That's what it said. Because see here, we're equal opportunity. We believe that men can read and women can read because women are strong in the kingdom of God. Yeah. So, yeah, take heed to yourselves and to the flock of God. You see how repetitive this is through the scripture? Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Well, I've got a job here. I'm a pastor. The word pastor means shepherd. And I have a little bit more full-time responsibility here and probably am held to a higher standard by God in terms of what I do here. But all of us have the capacity and I think a mandate from God to be pastoral or have ministry toward little ones and young ones and new ones in the house of God. But here's the admonition. Take heed over the flock of God. And what does he say about them? Yeah, isn't that wild? Who purchased the church with his own blood? God did. Isn't that amazing? How did God purchase the church with his own blood? God's a spirit, John 4 and 24. Well, God made a little body in the womb of a little girl there in Nazareth, in the area there in Galilee, and he brought that Son of God into the earth, but it was inhabited by the God, the Creator God, the Everlasting Father, Isaiah 9 and 6 says. And he says he purchased the church, he bought the church with his own blood. But the admonition here is to take heed, be careful. This is serious because God loves his church. He bought the church with his own blood. And he's saying, make sure you feed the flock. Make sure you feed the flock. Well, that is that talking to a preacher? Well, sure it is. But it's talking to the whole body. I mean, Sister Shirley and Sister Sarah and them, they literally fed the flock tonight. And we appreciate it. We really do. Broccoli and carrots and chocolate chip cookies. Now tell me, which one got more attention, the broccoli or the chocolate chip cookies? She won't tell. And so there's a lot of ways of feeding the people of God or feeding the flock of God. And you can do it in natural ways, and you can do it in emotional ways and supportive ways and ways of comfort. But you want to make sure that you take this very seriously because this is God's church. Now, just shortly, we're about to wrap up here. But we do lifestyle evangelism. Everybody in this church that's living for God at any decent level should be shining their light. You are the light of the world, should be affecting everyone around you. You are the salt of the earth. And in doing so, you are living a lifestyle of evangelism. You need to have cards in your purse or in your pocket. And everybody you interact with, you buy a hamburger, you get a jug of milk at Walmart, you get your tires fixed, you buy a part at Pull Apart, I don't know what you do, you get stopped by a local police officer after he finishes writing you up, invite him to church, you know, and don't be mad at him, he's doing his job. But invite everybody you meet to the house of God. They are lost sheep. God paid for them. They belong to him. They just don't know it yet. But he wants to bring them into his fold. And we have a job to walk in lifestyle evangelism and to win people to God. It's the fulfillment of the lost sheep, and the good shepherd goes out and finds the sheep. And so we do that. We go out and we find people and we bring them to the house of God. Everybody say amen. You need to have an active witness in your life. Every day you should tell somebody about the goodness of God. Every day you should witness to somebody about the kingdom of God. We do lifestyle. I'm going to flesh this out and show you how we actively do this and by process do this here at New Life. We teach Bible studies. How many of you are teaching a Bible study right now? Hold your hand up high. We probably have 75 Bible studies going on in this fellowship right now. But we could easily teach 125 or 150 a week if everybody was teaching a Bible study right now. And I believe everybody can teach a Bible study. Well, I don't know how to teach a Bible study. I can't, Brother Mike, anybody can teach a Bible study. You can't hurt them. They are lost. They are going to hell. You can't hurt that. You can't mess that up by trying to put them out. They're on fire right now. And by batting down the flames a little bit, you're not going to hurt them. Bring them the word of God. Everybody can teach a home Bible study. We teach a lot of Bible studies around. Or you can open your home for a Bible study. Or you can have someone else bring a friend to someone else in the church and have them teach. This is shepherding. This is helping people get to the chief shepherd, bringing them to the flock of God. We teach tonight. We've got classes going on from probably 11 years all the way up to 36 or to 40 in the other building over there, and they're teaching them class, they're teaching them lifestyle, and they're teaching them the theology class material. And we have on Sunday morning Sunday school teachers that are teaching our children. What are they doing? They're taking care of the lambs of God. They're taking care of God's little sheep. We've got wonderful music and music ministry, and our praise group is as good as any I've ever seen anywhere, and they do a wonderful, wonderful job. They really, really do. And they create atmosphere for us. And I've watched people just walk into the atmosphere here, and the presence of God is already here just because somebody's worshiping and singing and they're ministering to them. But you can minister in prayer, and you can minister in your worship and in your praise, and just let the Holy Ghost flow through you. There's a bajillion ways that you can minister to other people, and you do that organically when you live at a high level of experience in the kingdom of God. We've got a lot of passion-based ministries that are going on, and everybody that's a part of this church needs to be involved in ministry at some level. And everybody say amen. Okay, questions, comments, criticism, debate, discussion, brilliant observations. You have all knowledge and you understand all mysteries. Okay, well, let's pray together. Let's get in groups, if you would. Guys and gals, let's get together and let's lay hands on one another and pray for one another a little bit tonight before we dismiss. Pray God's blessing and strength. If you have a special need, tell those that are praying with you. Praise God. Pray what you know and then talk in tongues. Let the Holy Ghost flow through that prayer circle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be with you tonight. I thank Sister Shirley and the Barnabas team for preparing our little fellowship for us. And we'll be doing this again next week. And just go straight to that area. Let's have some time of fellowship, and then we'll come back to this area for our lesson. And we'll do that through the first of the year. God bless you. Strengthen and bless somebody before you leave the house tonight.